Today we have the passage from St. Matthew chapter 20 about the Lord's prediction of his upcoming passion, death, and resurrection, and then the request by James and John and their mother that James and John get the two best seats in the kingdom of heaven. So our scripture starts with Jesus going up to Jerusalem. In fact, whenever you read sacred scripture, they always talk about going up to Jerusalem because it was a city built on a hill. If you go there today, you always have to walk up to Jerusalem. So it was Zion. It was the city of the living God. It was the most important city in the world. And the pilgrims would always go up to Jerusalem. As they were about to do that, Jesus says, "We're about to go up there, and I'm going to tell you what's going to happen." He says, "The Son of Man will be betrayed." The title Son of Man is the prophet Daniel talked about the Son of Man. That was a title for the Messiah. It was the Lord's favorite title for himself, the Son of Man. He used that more than any other title in describing himself. And it says he will be betrayed by the chief priests. He'll be betrayed to the chief priests and the scribes. So here he would be led before the Jewish leaders. The chief priest and the scribe will condemn him to death. And because they're not allowed to do the death penalty, they would have to hand him over to the pagans, to the Romans, to the Gentiles. So again, the Lord sees this very clearly. As God, he knows what's going to happen to him, which of course made the suffering even worse. See, if we don't know what's going to happen, we can't be emotionally worried about it. But since Jesus saw exactly what was going to happen, the weight of that suffering was even greater because he saw exactly what would take place. He'd be turned over to the Gentiles, to Pontius Pilate. He would be mocked, of course, by the soldiers. He would be scourged by the Roman soldiers. And then he would be crucified. So the Lord sees this all very clearly, which of course would have added to the weight of his sufferings. That's why he swept blood in the Garden of Gethsemane, because he saw the weight of the sins of the world and what they were going to do to him all at one time. And he broke into the bloody sweat. But then it says, on the third day he will be raised from the dead. So again, this is all very clear to the Lord. So he explains this to the disciples, how much he's going to suffer, but he will rise again from the dead. Well, after he had said all this, then it's really the least appropriate time. But Mrs. Zebedee's wife, comes up. As you know, he had called the boys the Sons of Thunder, perhaps because of Mrs. Thunder here. Okay, Mrs. Zebedee comes up and says, "I want my boys to have the best place in the kingdom." In other words, she really wasn't listening to all the other stuff about the flogging and the scourging and the crowning with thorns and the betrayal and the crucifixion. She was just focused on her boys having a good place in the kingdom of God, because the Lord had said that these apostles would sit on the 12 thrones to judge the 12 tribes of Israel. So she said, "If my boys are going to be on the thrones, I want them in the best thrones, to the right and to the left of Jesus, the places of honor at the banquet. I want them in the best seats." And so she requests this. And Jesus says, "You do not know what you're asking." Isn't that the case with many of our prayers? Perhaps that God responds to some of our prayers this way. You do not really know what you're asking. It's always better to pray, "Lord, I don't know what's best, but thy will be done." So always pray, "Lord, thy will be done." Yes, you can pray for whatever you want, but say, "Lord, you know everything perfectly. We have limited, finite brains the size of a pea. Lord, we don't know really what's best for us, but we pray for what we pray for. But we say, Lord, you know best. Father knows best. Thy will be done." That's the best way to pray. Pray for whatever you want, but Lord, I don't know what's best. Thy will be done. So he says, "You don't know what you're asking." Then he turns to the boys and said, "Are you willing to drink the cup of suffering I shall drink?" And of course, with their young, youthful zeal, they say, "Yes, we will." Well, of course, they would eventually. And James would die as a martyr. He was put to death by the sword. We read that in Acts chapter 12. And John would suffer much through persecution and trials and exile on the island of Patmos, where he would die of advanced age. So they both would drink the cup of suffering. So again, Mrs. Zebedee was asking for glory and honor and prestige. What she got was the sufferings that her sons were willing to embrace. Yes, they would eventually get to heaven and have places of honor, but they first had to drink the cup of suffering in order to obtain the glory of the resurrection. Well, the gospel concludes by, of course, the other apostles becoming indignant and angry and envious and upset and jealous and all those other qualities that we see in the apostles, because they're furious that these James and John tried to get the best seats in the kingdom. In fact, Jesus says, to give those seats, it's not up to me, it's up to the Heavenly Father. It's for those who have been, those spots have been prepared for. Again, it's my personal opinion that that would be the Blessed Mother and Saint Joseph. And those would be the two that would have the place of honor next to Jesus, would be Our Lady and Saint Joseph. So you don't want to bump the Blessed Mother, okay? You don't want to bump Saint Joseph. But, and so the other apostles are upset, they're angry that these guys tried to get the best seats in the kingdom. So the Lord wraps it all up by using it as a teaching moment, as a teaching opportunity. He sits them all down and says, you know, you can't grasp for the best seats of honor. Here is the secret to becoming great in the kingdom of heaven. Become a slave. Become a servant of everyone. Don't try to get glory. Try to be a humble servant. He says, if you want to be great, you must become a servant. If you wish to be first, you must become last. You must become the slave of all and the servant of all. And then the Lord uses himself as an example and says, even I, the Son of Man, have come to earth not to be served, but to serve, to become a slave, and to give my life as a ransom for the many. And that's what St. Paul would write in Philippians. Though he was God, he humbled himself and took the form of a slave, being born in the likeness of man. He humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even death on the cross.